thumma nushira, thumma kutila, lam yataghayyar qalbu. Yeah, but a believer, if he was to be killed and brought back to life and killed again, his heart would remain steadfast with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wow. Yeah, this is what we need, right? And we have to understand that the consistency of faith that is being talked about here is developed in times of ease. Yeah? And that's where we find a lot of our lives in, times of ease. We have moments of hiccups, moments of difficulties. And so number one, the heart is supposed to be constant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Faith is strong, and no matter what happens to us, whether it be health, wealth, or any difficulties that may arise, our hearts need to be consistent. The next quality the Imam alayhi salam says is كَأَنَّ عَلَىٰ خُيُولِهِمُ الْإِقْبَانِ. The way it's translated, you know, it says they are like swift eagles mounted on fast horses. Yeah? What that means is that a believer is expected to be quick in service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan wants to defeat us from being distracted. And so remember that. Distraction is a tool of shaitan. And a believer never gets distracted when it comes to the opportunity of worshipping and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third quality the Imam alayhi salam says, kal masabih. كَأَنَّ قُلُوبُهُمْ الْقَنَادِيلِ. He says that they are like burning lamps and their hearts are like glowing beacons. Yeah, that's who believers are. You know, a lamp, a light, right? The concept of light is very beautiful. Light is something which is in itself illuminating, and it illuminates that which is around it, isn't it? Right? Of course. A believer is supposed to be that way. A believer in themselves needs to be illuminated. That means they have the qualities that God wants. They have the ability to do what God wants and they do it. But at the same time, a believer radiates everyone who is around them. Wow. Yeah, they are role models, right? And so we have to become role models. But to become role models, we have to be models ourselves. Yeah, where we do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. These three qualities, right? Consistency in our faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to never pass up an opportunity to do good, and to develop qualities that others can be inspired by, are what the Imam is looking for. This hadith ends in a very beautiful way. The Imam says, Bihim, by these believers, Yansurullahu Imam al-Haq. That Allah will aid the Imam of the time, through these type of people. And so it's our job. We got some work to do. To develop qualities that will be used to our Imam, so that inshallah he comes and there's justice and peace in the world that we live in.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi. كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two Islamic researchers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Habib and Shaykh Rouhani. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So the 15th day of the month of Sha'ban is the blessing birthday of Imam As, Imam al-Mahdi Jalallah. Why Imam al-Mahdi is called al-Hujjah of Allah on earth, and does Allah pour his blessings on earth because of the presence of al-Mahdi? These are two major questions to be answered for today's discussion. Brother Habib, let's start with the first part of the question. Why Imam al-Mahdi is called Hujjah?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. The word or the term Hujja in the Shia terminology literally means proof or evidence which is used during debate.
Yes.
That is one meaning. And that is also the same meaning as in the Arabic roots of the word Hujja. Then we have another meaning used by the Shia or used in the Shia terminology, and that is the meaning of the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth.
Okay.
The meaning of it is the person who has a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. The reason behind that is because there's a connection between this meaning of Hujja,
yes,
the authority meaning, and the meaning in the Arabic language. Because the person who is the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth is the one who has the evidence or is the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and commands. Mm-hmm.
That's a trace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
That's right. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this description of Al-Hujja is not specific towards Imam al-Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala faraju al-Sharif, but rather it's a title or characteristic given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prophets and their guardians or their successors.
Yes.
And the Hujjaj, usually when we have this in Ilm al-Hadith,
yes,
when we say Hujjajullah, usually we mean the 14
infallible figures. That's right. Okay.
So it is not a specific title towards Imam al-Mahdi, but when this title has been given to Imam al-Mahdi, whether be it by previous authorities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or various sayings in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, it means that Imam al-Mahdi, when he reappears, he will continue this connection between the heavens and the earth.
Or it's better to say he is continuing now.
He is continuing now, but it will be more apparent to us.
Practical.
It's going to be more practical.
Yes.
He is the connection. Right now, it is not available.
Uh-huh.
And we've had this before the prophet of the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. There's quite a good book about this topic. Mm-hmm. It's called Kamaluddin, compiled by Sheikh al-Saduq.
Yes.
And in it, he mentions narrations available of the times where there was no Hujjah, or the Hujjah was not available between the people. He was alive, for example, but it was not available between the people where the people could go to the Hujjah and ask him and get that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's all right. Okay. And Shaykh Rouhani, is it because of the presence of Imam As that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pours his blessings? Because he is now the final living Hujjah of Allah on earth. I mean, the main recipient of the blessings of Allah on earth. Is it because of his presence or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, of course. According to the Muslim and particularly Shia theologians, this is the idea that says that, of course, because of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, let's say, deputy, representative, or successor, I mean, Khalifatullah ta'ala on earth, then the blessings and ni'mat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powered on the earth. But the question is that why is it such, you know? It is because of this that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the whole universe purposefully. He has a purpose, an objective for the creation of the universe, particularly mankind.
Yes.
The purpose is to perfect the mankind. Actually, the perfect man or al-insanul kamil, the best al-insanul kamil or the best role model on the earth is the prophets. After the prophets, the imams.
Yes.
And for the current time is Imam al-Asr wa Hunafida, who is That's the right. perfect man, al-insan al-kamil.
Yes.
So al-insan al-kamil is the representative of God, is the deputy of God on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Earth is not without Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khalifa.
Yes.
Khalifatullah on earth is always available for the mankind. This Khalifatullah is the main reason of ni'amat and blessings mm-hmm. of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth.
Okay.
Because the ni'mah of Allah cannot be powered on the enemies of Almighty Allah
yes.
subhanahu wa ta'ala without the presence of this uh-huh. hujjah, or let's say the perfect man, or al-insan al-kamil.
That's right.
That is why since al-imam al-mahdi al-hujjah alayhi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, is the Khalifatullah on earth, mm-hmm. the real Khalifatullah on earth,
yes.
the real successor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. That is why, of course, because of him,
mm-hmm.
there are blessings and bounties Very of good. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth.
That's right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And Brother Habib, some might say that more than, for example, I don't know how many people live all across the world now, 8 billion maybe people living all across the world now, but why for the presence of only one living person who is called Insan Kamil, or the perfect human being, namely Imam Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pour his blessings on the other people? Is it logical or not?
It is logical. We can expand on or elaborate on what my brother put forward, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put forward a purpose of creation.
Mm-hmm.
This purpose of creation is for us to reach the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that cannot be obtained unless we follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is deserved. It's a reward after you do your actions. So upon doing these actions, upon knowing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, you need to know what he wants. Knowing what he wants, knowing your creator, knowing his will, is in need of a prophet, is in need of a wasi, of a successor, of a guardian, of an authority.
A vicegerent.
And that is why we have, it is known between the Shias in Hadith al-Kisa.
Yes.
There are other sayings available, for example, in the books of Shaykh al-Saduq, in Halal al-Sharaya, if I'm not wrong, that لَوْ لَاكُمْ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَفْلَكُ.
Yes.
Because of you, I have created the skies and the heavens.
Uh-huh.
I have created the earth. Yes. I have created everything.
Yes.
And also, وَبِكُمْ يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَبِكُمْ يُمْسَكَ السَّمَاءِ in Ziyar al-Jami'ah.
Yes.
Meaning that the order for this purpose, for it to be complete, for it to be a working mechanism.
Yes.
For its law, for its continuation, there needs to be authority on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why their creation, their availability is what? Is vital. It's a significant point. It's a significant creation. Because the purpose of creation is not valid unless that there is proof and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth.
Yes.
And therefore, if it was for that creation, yes. Okay. The imam and the hujjah is an important availability or yes. important part in the purpose
right.
of our creation.
That creation, that's
Therefore,
right.
there's this saying that states mm-hmm. that if there was two people available on earth,
yes.
there would have to be, that one of them would have to be the hujjah.
Uh-huh.
So this
so this way, the long life of hujjah is justifiable.
Yes, as well. For that, the reason why he yes. prolonged his life.
Yes.
And again, there are also various say, like we're talking about the aspect of Allah blessing human beings and sending down the goods, and you know, not sending divine punishment upon us. There's also these narrations available, these types of narrations that state that if it wasn't for animals, innocent animals, it wasn't yes. for innocent babies,
yes.
if it wasn't for believers at night who pray
mm-hmm.
and cry from the fear of their Lord, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have wiped out earth.
Uh-huh. That's right.
So if these are the creations, these yes. are the purposes of
creation being manifested.
Yes.
So how about the one of the most significant parts, mm-hmm. which is Imam al-Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala faraj al-sharif, mm-hmm. was the application of Hujjatullah.
That's right. Very good. And in this way, Shaykh Rouhani, the life finds a kind of meaning, isn't it?
Yes,
I mean, as long as a Hujjah is present on earth, namely Imam Asr, then the life becomes meaningful, spiritually speaking. Without it, it seems that the life will be limited to the mundane materialistic one, isn't it?
Yes, of course. According to the Surah Mubarakah, Surah Al-Qadr, which is mentioned, that تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. And the interpretation of this beautiful verse, the exegetes of the Holy Quran says that this malaik who come down to the earth, the question is that to whom they refer? تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ to whom?
They come down on earth?
They come down on al-hujjah.
Yes.
Al-hujjatu Allah.
So the main recipient?
Yeah, of course. It is
the main visitor is al-hujjah.
Yeah, as we talked before, that it is the hujjah, hujjatu Allah ta'ala ala al-ard, who receives this malaik, who receives the blessings, who receives the exact, let's say, bounties of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, hujjatu Allah ala al-ard means that he is observing whatever we do.
Yes.
In our lives, every moment we are in the presence of the Hujjah. That's why this Hujjah on the Day of Judgment will be one of the witnesses against us.
Really?
The prophets, the imams will be like witnesses, that on the Day of Judgment we will be asked, we will be questioned by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bears them as witnesses on us. That's and one of them is Hujjah.
Okay.
So that's why whatever we do, the Imam al-Asr wa huna fida witnesses and observing.
Yes.
And that is why a true mu'min, a true Muslim, is the one who should be cautious and careful every moment of his life, every day, that whatever he is doing, whatever he is performing, is being observed by Hujjatullah ala al-Ard. So that's why in the presence of Hujjatullah, in the presence of Imam al-Asr, no one can commit sin.
Yes.
Everyone could be the true Muslim, the true mu'min. Right. And this is the benefit of the Imam al-Asr wa huna fida. And it causes the blessings to be powered on true mu'mineen. Because the more you observe, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ruling, the more you receive the ni'amat and the blessings. What is the main cause? The main cause is Imam al-Asr.
Yes.
Arwa huna fida. Ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
So the ni'amat, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pours down on all the people, Brother Habib. But the special, I mean, khas al-khas recipient of these blessings is Imam As. So in order to be connected to that special khas blessings of Allah, you have to be connected to Imam As too. I mean, by spirit, I mean.
Yes, the connection, that love between you and your Imam also plays a big role in that.
Okay.
And there's a couple of sayings right now just popping up to my mind about this topic. A man came to Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, available in Al-Kafi, this narration. He stated, "Do you pray for me?" He said, "Yes, I pray for you." Like how you pray for me, I pray for you. Keeping your Imam in your dua is also is a reason or cause for the Imam to keep you you in his dua. Another thing is like the sayings that mention ard al-a'mal, the sayings of showcasing of our actions in the eyes of the Prophet and the eyes of the Imam alayhi salam. The concept is accepted by Sunnis and Shias alike.
Yes.
The fact that our actions are seen by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he gets upset when he sees bad actions, he gets happy when he sees good action.
Very good.
So making the Prophet happy, providing the Prophet with presents. How do you provide him with presents? Good actions, good deeds. Say that the thawab and the reward is for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, or is a present towards the Prophet and his family members as well.
That's right.
These are actions that connect us with the Imam.
Right.
And more than that, you know, just that love that you have towards the Imam, let it increase. Let it show more. And the best door towards it, well-known, Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Yes.
You know, that tragedy, that disaster that happened in Karbala is a very wide door, which aids us in connecting with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. When you connect with them, you gain more love with them, and of course, increasing your knowledge in them, ma'rif about them, knowing their statuses, their positions, and, you know, continuing to be a righteous follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi
maybe salam. That's the main reason why paying visit to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is a very recommended action on the 9th of 15th of Sha'ban.
Okay. At the end of the day, when you're visiting the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you're nearer to him physically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And being near to someone physically also means that you're near to him. Not always, but yes. Most of the times, you're near to him emotionally as well.
Yes, that's right.
And that also plays a big role in, you know, continuing that connection.
Very good. Very good, Brother Habib.
Strengthening the connection.
Thank you very much, Brother Habib and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration. We again express our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Imam Asmi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. And thank you very much to your listeners for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life, ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Observances of the blessed 15th eve of Sha'ban. In the name of God, the All Merciful, the All Compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and as you know, we are nearing the middle of the blessed month of Sha'ban, whose observances we presented you a fortnight ago. Today, we are on the threshold of the auspicious 15th of the month that is attributed to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Let us present you in brief the observances of this night of Sha'ban, especially in view of the eve of the blessed birth anniversary of the 12th and last infallible Imam, the eagerly awaited Mahdi al-Qa'im, peace upon him, who will reappear in the end times to fill the earth with peace, prosperity, and justice by cleansing it of all vestiges of oppression and corruption. Please stay tuned. This is the most auspicious night. The Prophet's 6th infallible heir, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, says that when his father, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, was asked about the excellence of the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, he replied, "It is the best of nights after the night of Qadr that occurs in late Ramadan. During it, God Almighty confers His grace on His servants and forgives them out of His favor and munificence. Therefore, try earnestly to obtain nearness to God during the course of this night. Indeed, it is a night wherein God has sworn by His sacred being not to turn away empty-handed any supplicant from His door, unless he requests something sinful. It is a night which God Almighty has appointed for us, the progeny of the Prophet, in the same way that He appointed the night of Qadr for our Prophet. Therefore, apply yourself to celebrating His praise and supplicating Him on this night. Among the blessed events pertaining to this auspicious night is the birth of the Master of the Age and the Imam of the Era. May our souls be sacrificed for him. At dawn in the year 255 corresponding to 869 AD of the Gregorian calendar, this auspicious event occurred in the city of Samarra in Iraq, which has enhanced the excellence of this auspicious night. There are several observances pertaining to this night. First, one should perform a bath, an act which leads to remission of sins. Second, observing the night's vigil while engaging in prayer, supplication and istighfar, or seeking forgiveness from the Lord Most High, as was the practice of the Prophet's fourth infallible successor, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him. It is started in a hadith that whoever keeps vigil during this night, his heart shall not die on the day when the hearts die. The third highly recommended act on this night is the performance of the ziyarat, or standard form of salutation, to the martyr of Karbala, the Prophet's younger grandson, Imam Hussein, peace upon him. This is the most meritorious of observances pertaining to this night and an effective means for forgiveness of sins. It has been said that whoever wishes to shake hands with the spirits of 124,000 prophets should perform the ziyarat of that imam on this night in Karbala. The least one can do in performing this observance is to ascend to the roof of one's own house, and from there, after casting a glance to the right and the left, and with face turned towards the direction of Karbala, raise the head toward the sky and greet the Imam with the following words: O Abu Abdullah, peace upon you, peace upon you, and may Allah's mercy and His blessings be upon you. It is hoped that whoever greets the immortal martyr of Karbala in this manner, at whatever time and regardless of his location, there shall be written for him or her the reward of a Hajj pilgrimage and an Umrah. The famous Iranian scholar Sheikh Taife Tusi, who flourished 1,000 years ago, has reported on the authority of Ismail al-Fazl al-Hashimi, who says that he was taught by Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, a special supplication to be recited on the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, which we present you here. O Allah, You are the Living One, the All-Sustainer, the All-Exalted, the All-Great, the All-Creator, the All-Provider, the Giver of Life and the causer of death, the beginner, the originator. To you belong all glory, grace, and praise, and to you belong all favors, generosity, munificence, command, majesty, and thanks. You are one and have no partner. O, the single, O, the one and only. O, the all-embracing. O, you who neither begat nor were begotten, nor have you any equal. Bless Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad, and forgive me and have mercy upon me. Suffice me concerning that which is of concern to me. Help me pay my debts and expand your provision, for you resolve every vital matter on this night, and provide any of your creatures that you wish. So provide me, as you are the best of providers. Indeed, you have said, and you are the best of speakers. Ask Allah for His grace. So I beseech you for your grace, having turned toward you, putting my reliance on the son of your prophet, I pin my hopes in you. So have mercy on me, O most merciful of the merciful. Is another supplication for this night quoted from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, which could be recited at all times of the year in view of its benefits. O Allah, grant us a share of your awe that may serve as a barrier between us and disobedience to you. Grant us a share of your obedience that will enable us to attain your approval. Grant us a share of certitude that may enable us to bear with ease the afflictions of this world. O Allah, grant us to enjoy the benefit of hearing, sight, and strength, as long as you keep us alive. Help us against those who are hostile to us, and do not let our afflictions affect our religion. Do not make mundane concerns our biggest worry. Do not impose on us the one who will show no pity. By your mercy, O most merciful of the merciful. Among the other observances of the blessed night of Mid-Sha'ban are the special salawat, or sending of blessings, on the Prophet and his infallible progeny. It is narrated from the Prophet's fourth infallible heir, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, and is recited daily in this month at the time of noon. It is also highly recommended to recite on this night the Du'a-e Kumail, the famous supplication taught by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, to his disciple Kumail ibn Ziyad, which is indeed an eloquently moving petition in the divine court that opens the doors of mercy for the supplicants. Sheikh Tusi has cited a report in the book Misbahul Mutahajjid about the excellence of the 15th of night of Sha'ban, transmitted by Abu Yahya, who says, I asked my master Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, about the best supplication for this night. He replied, after offering the Isha prayer, perform two rak'ats with Surah Hamd and Surah Kafirun in the first, and Hamd and Surah Tawheed in the second. After salam, say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. Thank you. then recite this supplication. O you who are the refuge of your servants in exigencies and with whom the creatures take shelter in misfortunes, O knower of all that is open and hidden, O you from whom are not hidden the thoughts that pass in the minds under unrestrained ideas, O Lord of the creatures and the earth's denizens, O you in whose hand is the dominion of all the heavens and the earth. You are Allah, there is no God besides you, and I turn to you for there is no God besides you. O you besides whom there is no God, appoint me this night among those at whom you look and have mercy on them, to their supplications and answer them, and knowing their failings, you forgive them and overlook their past errors and major offenses. For with you do I seek refuge from my sins, and with you do I take shelter for covering my defects. O Allah, be generous to me out of your magnanimity and relieve me of my misdeeds with your forbearance and pardon. Enfold me this night in your abounding magnanimity and appoint me therein among your protege, whom you have chosen for your obedience and elected for your worship, making them your dedicated servants. O Allah, appoint me to be among those whose efforts prosper, whose share of good deeds is plentiful, and appoint me among the blameless and the blessed, the triumphant and the felicitous. Save me from the evil of my past conduct and preserve me from advancing in deeds of disobedience to you. Endear me to your obedience and what brings me near to you, and enable me to draw close to you. My master, those who flee take refuge in you, and those who are seekers entreat you, and those who repent from their sins trust your magnanimity. You have educated your servants by honoring them, and you are the most munificent of the munificent. You have commanded your servants to pardon, and you are the all-forgiving and the all-merciful. O Allah, do not deprive me of my hope in your magnanimity. Do not disappoint my hope in your abounding blessings. Do not disappoint me from your generous dispensations in this night meant for those who obey you, and shield me from the evil ones from amongst your creatures. My Lord, if I am not worthy of that, you are surely magnanimous and worthy to pardon and forgive. Be generous to me by virtue of that which is worthy of you, not for reason of what I deserve. I certainly have a good opinion of you, a convinced hope in you, and my soul clings to your magnanimity. For indeed, you are the most merciful of the merciful, and the most munificent of the munificent. O Allah, assign to me a handsome share of your munificence. I seek protection in your pardon from your punishment. Forgive me the sins that make me wretched and tighten my provision, so that I may be enabled to earn the best of your approval. Be blessed with the plenty of your gifts, and prosper with your abounding blessings. For indeed, I have taken refuge in your sanctuary, presented myself for your munificence, sought protection in your pardon from your punishment, and in your forbearance from your wrath. So grant me generously what I have asked you, and give what I have requested you. I beseech you by you, and there is nothing greater than you. Then bow down in prostration and say, Ya Rab, 20 times. Ya Allah 7 times, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah 7 times, Mashallah 10 times, and La quwwata illa billah 10 times. Then invoke salawat or blessings on Prophet Muhammad and his progeny. Then make your petition. By God, should you make petitions as numerous as the drops of rain, God Almighty and Glorious will answer them by virtue of this observance out of His boundless grace and munificence. Do pray for us, dear listeners, especially for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, and establishment of the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. Amen.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran and different dimensions of this being and the plan that the Holy Quran and the religion of Islam have designated for this being, for this world and the next. In the previous episodes, we talked about different dimensions of the soul. We ended up talking about the intellect, reason. And previously, before that, we had talked about the qalb, the heart. Now, talking about the intellect and reason, we talked about some of the things that come in contrast to reason in different verses of the Holy Quran. One of them was foolishness. Now, aql had been contrasted with foolishness in the Holy Quran, safah, and we said that there is a historical debate over who is real, the real fool. Are the believers the foolish ones, those who believe in the message of the prophets, or those who deny this message? And, well, the camp of non-believers, they advocate this thing that, yes, because we are reasonable people, because we're rational, because we're intellectuals, we reject the message of Anbiya. According to the Holy Quran, it's completely the opposite. Actually, considering the message of Anbiya and taking it seriously is actually a sign of having correct reason. And then we recited some verses related to that. Also, we explained why rejecting the message of Anbiya is foolish, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, because it's a great loss, it's eternity that is at stake. And on this side, it's not very much that a person loses if he believes in the message of Anbiya, because when we consider the message of Anbiya, the principles and even the conduct and the practical advice that the Anbiya have, the prophets, divine prophets have for us, they are all based on the fitra and the reason. And yes, there are superstitions, and Quran actually says the superstitions are foolish. And we recited the verse of those people who believed in false religions. قَدْ خَسَرَ الَّذِينَ قَتَلُوا أَوْلَادَهُمْ سَفَهًا بِغَيْرَ عِلْمٍ Those people who thought that killing their own children as sacrifice in the temple was some part of the religion. And the Quran says, no, this is actually foolishness. So it's possible that there are certain readings of a religion, certain copies, certain versions of a divine religion that is not divine and that has been manipulated, that has been distorted by some people, but it doesn't make the original one fake or the original one foolish. Now, in this episode, we should talk about another title or another word by which Quran refers to the intellect, and that is lub, and the concept of or the title of ulul albab. Quran refers to the people of reason by the word ulul albab. Inshallah, we have a break and we come back to consider and talk about this title more after the break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the second segment of this episode, we should talk about the word ulul albab, the people, the possessors of lub. Lub in Arabic means the seed that lies within the shell of something. So if you have, a seed, but it's only the shell and within it there is no seed, then it's like a person who does not have reason. Quran says the lub of a person, that inner thing that makes it valuable, is the reason. So people of reason actually are like a walnut, a hazelnut, or anything that is filled with that seed. So Quran says, and in different verses Quran refers to ulul albab. For example, in one verse says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَالتَّقُونَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Quran addresses the people who have lub, who have the mind, the intellect, and says that if you have mind, you should have observance of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa, we talked about it. It's translated into piety. It also could be translated to observance and realization and awareness of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another thing, another verse is يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives wisdom to anyone whom he wishes. And we explained this in previous episodes, similar cases, that when we have whom he wishes, phrases like this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to his own wish, distributes certain things, certain blessings to people. It doesn't mean his wish is based on some random arbitrary thing. No, the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on wisdom. So he only distributes this based on the wisdom, based on the performance of people, based on the how much they deserve it. So it's not that this is an injustice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like select people out of nowhere. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects people based on the previous behaviors that they had. So, and then when he selects people for that, he gives them what? Al-hikmah, wisdom. And وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever has been given hikmah, wisdom, he surely has been given a very great good, a very great goodness. خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Now, this is important because we consider خَيْرُ الْكَثِيرُ. We believe that the great blessing is like a large house or, I don't know, a fancy car or things like that. But Quran says, no, khayr al-kathir is hikmah, wisdom. And this is the very Quran that considers the whole dunya, the whole blessing of dunya, as mata'un qaleel. It's just a very little, small thing. The whole dunya, according to Quran, is mata'un qaleel. But with the same scale, Quran talks about wisdom and hikmah as a great and large and remarkable khayr, good. And وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Only people who possess reason can understand this. Yes, it's obvious. Many people would not easily understand. What does it mean? حِكْمَةٌ is خَيْرُ الْكَثِيرِ. But only people with wisdom, with intellect, can understand this. And we have another verse that talks about one of the consequences of reason. وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنْ أَشْكُرَ لِلَّهِ. One of the manifestations of reason is to be grateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us grateful towards His blessings. Thank you very much for listening. Inshallah, until next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. This is Lantern. On the continuation of Lantern, we have an interesting story. Of course, after listening to this story, we have the speech of the scholar and the important points of this story. Malik and the Thief. One evening, an intruder climbed the wall in Malik's house. He had an easy way in, but he became disheartened as soon as he entered the house because he found nothing to be stolen. Malik was occupied doing the prayer. With finding out he wasn't alone, he rapidly completed his prayer and turned to stand in front of the thief. He didn't show any signs of shock or fear. Malik peacefully greeted the thief and told him that Allah might forgive him. He said, "You broke into my house, but you didn't find anything. Although I don't want you to walk away and not get any benefits." He walked into another room and returned with a pitcher filled with water. He looked the robber in the eye and told him to perform the ablution or wudu and two prayer units. "Because when you do, you will come out of my home with a larger treasure than you came in to search for." Embraced by Malik's figure of speech, the thief said, "Yes, it's a great deal," after performing the two units of prayer. All of a sudden, he asked him to stay a little to carry out two further units of prayer. Malik told him to stay and pray the number of prayers he wanted because Allah orders him to do it now. The intruder kept prayer at Malik's house until the night was gone. Then in the morning, Malik told him to go and take care of himself, but he didn't want to leave. He asked Malik to stay with him for one day because he had an intent to fast. Malik told him to stay all he wanted. The intruder's stay at Malik's house lasted several days, fasting during the day and praying during the late hours of the night. After a while, the intruder decided to weigh out of Malik's house and told Malik that he had resolutely repented of his sins and for how he lived in the past. Malik has said, "It is in Allah's hand." The man changed his way of life and started to live a righteous and obedient life to Allah. Afterwards, he met another intruder who asked him, "Have you found any treasure yet?" He told him that he found Malik and said, "I went to steal his house, but the story ended by stealing my heart. I did repent of Allah, and I'll stay at the doorway until I reach that which his obedient and loving slaves have accomplished." This story reminds us of the power of repentance, and Allah may forgive his slaves when they made a firm resolve to repent for their sins.
We seek refuge from Satan the cursed in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and in this program of Lantern, what we do is to listen to certain religious stories and then try to talk about these stories, about some details and some moral lessons and themes that we can get out of the stories in order to talk about them and ponder about them and make use of them in our daily lives as Muslims. Well, the story we just listened to is about repentance and its miraculous effects on the life of a person. Like the physical diseases that are treated by swallowing drugs and stopping eating delicious meals, sins should be treated by suffering repentance and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstaining from the sweeping desires and the unruly whims, so that the worldly and religious tragedies of the commitment of sins will not be encountered. True repentance can be achieved after it passes through three stages. The first stage is the conscious awakening. The guilty feels sorry for his acts of disobedience to God. When the soul is full of this aware feeling, it moves to the second stage, which is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the true intention to cling to the obedience of Him. When this